You pressed play on this podcast with the click of curiosity. It is another dimension, a dimension of mind, a dimension where nothing is sacred and everything is explainable. You're streaming into a land of both inside and outside, of things and ideas. You've just crossed over into the midside.
Welcome to the midside, where to be the person, you have to beat the person. I'm your host, Justin M. Wisniewski, and if you can do a Ric Flair woo better than I can, tell a friend about how embarrassing it is to listen to me try to do a Ric Flair woo, and then they'll tune into the show, and they will hear an episode and like it, and we will get one more Midsider, and you can have another friend who is a Midsider as well. See how that works? Alternately, if you want to give me lessons on how to do a woo, and help me pay for lessons on how to do a Ric Flair woo, go to themidside.com/Patreon or patreon.com/themidside and become a supporter today. Joining me this trip from our nation's capital, Daniel T. Richards.
And boy, oh boy, did the Midside cause me some anxiety this week as a Midsider messaged me and said that he and his wife were attending the Adam Carolla performance in Washington, D.C. Yes, that's right, and wondered if I would be there and if we could meet up. And indeed, Fiza and I both attended the Adam Carolla performance at the Kennedy Center for the Performing Arts in Washington, D.C., and, in fact, did not meet up with this Midsider Mark, but not that Midsider Mark, the other Midsider Mark, who I believe is from Pennsylvania. So I want to say thanks to Midsider Mark for reaching out, but sorry we couldn't actually interact with each other as human beings outside of the internet. And
was this your fault?
Podcast. Well, I'm going to go ahead and blame pregnancy. That's what I'm going to blame. Because Fiza now needs to go to bed roughly around 8:21 p.m. on any given night. So she can get
Is that a sign of pregnancy, going to bed at like 8:30, 9:30 every night?
It's not. No. Not sleep a lot, therefore pregnant. Pregnant, therefore sleep a lot.
Oh, okay. So, I was going to say, because Christine already goes to bed at 8:30 p.m. every night.
She's having twins. So apologies to Midsider Mark, but basically the show ended at 9:30 and that was already way past bedtime, so we had to book it out of there and home.
All right, but it makes me wonder, are we an unofficial Adam Carolla show spinoff at this point?
Get it on.
Also joining us, now back in the hills of white privilege after spending some time in Hawaii, James Elias.
I think we would probably count as an Adam Carolla homage, not so much a spinoff. That would be if, like, you know, one of the, you know, if the woman from Adam Carolla, like, was in charge of the show or something.
The woman? That's just how we refer to women? She's just the woman? I think her name is Gina?
I don't listen to the Adam Carolla show. I just know there's a woman who sometimes talks or something, right?
When they let her out of the kitchen, she talks? Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. When she's done making them all sandwiches.
I feel like we're like the Chinese IP knockoff of the Adam Carolla show. You know how you go to China and there's like a Kentucky Fried Chicken, but chicken is spelled without an E and an extra I?
Can order us on eBay and it takes an extra 3 weeks to get there, but it's half the price.
That's right. That's what we are to the Adam Carolla show. Yeah.
And we wear that distinction with pride.
That's right.
But you know who doesn't wear things with pride? Justin Trudeau. Let's talk about him and the other ridiculous things that happened this week in the news with Daniel T. Richards.
Well, I assure you, Mr. Listener, it really is that bad. These aren't harmless criminals. This isn't just a fad.
Tide Pods are still a thing, apparently, this week, as New York lawmakers say they must be changed to look less delicious as they lick their lips. Yes, two New York lawmakers, State Senator Brad Hoyleman and Assemblywoman Arabella Simotas,
both have unveiled with blue a proposal. Froth coming out of their mouths.
That's right. They've unveiled a proposal to make Tide Pod look less appetizing to children. Holloman said, "We are asking for all laundry detergent pods to be uniform in color." And Simontis added, "All we have to make sure is that public safety trumps Procter & Gamble's profits." Eating Tide Pods, of course, is it's become a social media craze, except that craze, by definition, is probably more than the numbers we're talking here. So the American Association of Poison Control has reported 154 calls to poison control centers relating to teenagers ingesting pods, up from 53 cases last year. So we're up 101 idiots, is what we're up from last year. At this rate, by the year 2080, there'll be no teenagers left because of Tide Pod eating. Justin, is this a matter for the law?
I don't think it is. I think I've made this comment before, not about Tide Pods, but about something else on the show. 154 people is within the acceptable range of, like, losses among human beings, right? Like, if it was like, oh, we only lost 154 people in war, we'd be like, oh, okay, that's acceptable. Like, we're only losing 154 people to Tide Pods? I think that's a win on our part.
I think we're still ahead on the Darwinian scale when you count how many we saved from, curable diseases and pollution and all the things that are people who would have died otherwise, or those, you know what these children are. These are the children who, before the little plastic things that you shove in outlets, would have stuck knives in them and electrocuted themselves to death.
These are the kids.
This is just nature. Nature finds a way.
100%. These are the kids who put plastic bags over their head and suffocate themselves to death. These are who these kids are.
Before we outlawed plastic bags, yes.
Yeah. Because you know how everything is like, this is not a toy? Like, these are the kids we have to write, this is not a toy. It's not even just the kids, right? It's the adults, right? How about you make a law that says parents have to make sure their kids don't kill themselves?
These are the kids who would have all jumped off of their balconies before we put those warning labels on Superman capes that says wearing of this garment does not enable the user to fly.
These are the kids that I heard about as a kid who went into the sewers to find the Ninja Turtles.
Everything floats down there.
No, but here's the thing. When you talk about, you said like it's below the number of a craze. Is this only being talked about because it's a sensational headline? Because I have literally, and now granted, I haven't sought it out, but usually when these memes happen, like Tebowing or Faith Hilling, as they made fun of on South Park, I know that's a fictional one from South Park, but usually when these memes happen, you can't escape them, right? Like, remember the ice bucket challenge? You could not escape that. It was just everywhere was pouring ice on their heads, thinking that somehow that would cure Lou Gehrig's disease.
I basically had to run serpentine from the metro to my office building to avoid ice water being dunked on me. It's terrible. Thought I lived in Seattle for a few months.
You could, like, on social media, you could not escape these things. But I have not seen one video or picture of a kid eating a Tide Pod. Is this either being scrubbed from social media, or is this just being overhyped because scrubbed, it's soap and it's being scrubbed from social media? I didn't even mean to do that, but I didn't mean to do that. Or is this just not a big deal and it's being hyped up because it's sensational to be like, they're eating Tide Pods?
I don't know, James, you actually talk to teenagers. Are any of them eating Tide Pods during the physics lessons or whatever it is you're giving them?
Each of my students has like one or two Tide Pods every time before coming to tutoring. It actually helps a lot with differential equations, it turns out. Just that, like algebra, no Tide Pods. Geometry, like maybe half a Tide Pod, but differential equations, ingest as many of those puppies as you can before attempting that branch of mathematics. Yeah.
Is this all just is the anti-Tide Pod movement then just a anti-Tide Pod eating movement, just a movement by Asians to keep their supremacy in math? Is that what you're telling me, James?
Yeah, maybe. It could be. This could have something to do with the Chinese. But
it always does.
I find this so funny how this is like if Ayn Rand was a comedian she would write this. Like, we need to make just how they shoehorn in their altruist like buzz phrases into like just something so ridiculous. We need to make sure that public safety comes before Procter and Gamble's profits. Like you can somehow like Procter and Gamble, like, oh, if only they weren't so irresponsible, they would make their Tide Pods look, you know, less appealing looking.
Also, surprise, actually, premise here.
Now that I'm thinking about it.
Yeah. Go ahead, James.
Oh, I just realized the first time I ever saw a Tide Pod, like a good 4 years ago, I think I did make a joke about eating it. Now that I'm thinking about it, like I saw it under the sink and I'm like, oh, hey, like I was living with a bunch of other people at the time. Like, oh, hey, Nicole, like you bought these? How are they? And I kind of like motioned to put it in my mouth.
You are the acceptable loss on this podcast, James.
I didn't.
Well, according to state senator Brad,
I'm good enough at math as it is without Tide Pods. Thank you very much. I don't use performance enhancing pods.
Tide Pods are squishy, they smell sweet, and they look like gummy bears. So
wait, they smell sweet?
Need to be outlawed. I have these things. They don't smell sweet. They smell like detergent.
That's what I was going to say. Do you like smell your laundry detergent before you put it in? Now, I'm old school. I still use the liquid detergent. Like, I pour it in the cup and then I pour it in the washing machine. But I don't like in between there smell it. I'm like, oh, smells good. I can use it. Like, who smells their detergent?
Yeah, I don't. This is no laughing matter, Justin. I hope you know that. That's what multiple people in this article said. It's no laughing matter. As they put juxtaposed with a picture from Wakened Bakery of Tide Pod Donuts.
I saw an anime dressed girl. You know how like Asian girls will sometimes dress as anime characters? They'll kind of dress in clothing and like makeup that is anime-esque. Well, I saw one of those girls, but she looked like an orange and blue Tide Pod. She was dressed as an anime girl Tide Pod.
Well, that is the real problem here. Is does everybody just want to eat everyone who goes to the University of Florida? Like, do cannibals watch every UF game?
It's true. Anyone who's dressed in bright colors is from this point forward delicious looking. Remember that, Justin. That's going to come back and haunt us.
I get the sense like millennials are, or the here's something I can tell you from the young people. Like, they are very, very, very sarcastic. Like, everything is just a big joke at like a like the irony is really thick with the cult, with the youth culture now. And so with something like this, like eating Tide Pod, like I feel like part of the joke must be that we're going to scare adults into thinking that we're all eating these things. And that's the joke. Like, we're going to say like we're all eating them. And like, you know, it's. And the 150 people who are too dumb to realize it's a joke are actually doing it because they think it's a chat. Like, they think it's a legitimate challenge when all of this is really just tongue in cheek. Like, most of the videos I've seen of this show, like, people cooking the Tide Pods or like pretending to eat them and then saying like, no, I'm not a fucking idiot. Like, this is a joke. This is a joke. And it's so funny that like we're thinking about legislation about it.
Well, it's not just legislation we're thinking about. It's legitimately they're saying they're going to decree that all of one product must look exactly the same. It's terrifying to me, to get a little more serious here, it's terrifying to me that they would even think of that as a solution to this.
Yeah.
Not just that Tide has to fix the problem, but that every manufacturer of detergent pods must have it be the same color. That's terrifying.
Yeah.
And I love the suppressed premise here in that statement, James, that we were making fun of about Procter & Gamble's profits, that Procter & Gamble makes money the more people who eat their Tide Pods.
It's their insurance policy. It pays out every time someone dies from eating a Tide Pod.
I don't understand.
So, yeah, Daniel, isn't this a bill of attainder in constitutional terms?
Yes. What?
All right. Now we know. You've never heard of a bill of attainder?
I'm not a lawyer. I work with lawyers, okay. James, but it turns out I'm not a lawyer.
Well, you know, you do work for beep, so I figured you'd know.
Thank you.
So,
no, I should thank you for not having me have to go back and cut that out in post.
Yeah, you can just use my beep.
That's right. Bill of attainder. The dictionary.com says, see attainder.
Yeah, dude.
Thank you, dictionary.com.
No, dude, according to the Constitution, a bill of attainder is when you pass a law against a particular person. So you say, like, anyone named Daniel T. Richards has to be thrown in jail tomorrow. And, like, the Congress just passes that as a law. Like, that is not allowed. And this just seems like a less extreme version of that. But
see,
still
now
just
James
as
elevated the show. James elevated the show by talking about bills of attainder. And I'm going to bring it back down by saying that Wikipedia says writ of attainder redirects here, not to be confused with writ of attaint.
That's when you write a law in pen on someone's taint, I guess.
Just in case anyone was confusing those two. Speaking of confusing, it turns out a chemical in McDonald's french fries could cure baldness, study says. Comma study says is probably my favorite end of any headline, and if you add it to any headline, it makes it immediately funnier. So
this is like the in bed of headlines. So fortune cookies, you say in bed with headlines, you say study say.
That's right, indeed. So
Trump
what
tweets,
is it,
all the Mexicans should go to jail, study says.
That's right. Harvey Weinstein molests yet another woman, comma study says. Yes. Here we go. Japanese scientists may have, of course they did, discovered a cure for baldness, and it lies within a chemical used to make McDonald's fries. Yes, a stem cell research team from Yokohama National University used a, quote, simple, unquote. Why is that the only word they quoted in that sentence? Used a simple method to regrow hair on mice using dimethiopolysiloxane. Let's just call that DIMPO. The silicone added to McDonald's fries to stop cooking oil from frothing. Preliminary tests indicated that the groundbreaking method was likely to be just as successful in transfer to human skin cells. According to the study released in Biomaterials Journal last Thursday, the breakthrough came after scientists successfully mass-produced hair follicle germs, which were created for the first time ever in this way on mice. Justin, you have a full head of hair. Is this because you're constantly downing McDonald's french fries?
Yeah, it's because through my high school years and my college years, that's what I survived on, because it used to be that McDonald's was like super cheap and like not terrible. It's gotten even worse, but that is definitely what I survived on. And it makes me wonder, what is going on with the Japanese? Am I just ignorant of Japanese genetics? Like, is there a big issue with baldness in Japan that they need to cure this? When I picture Japanese people, I don't picture them ever getting bald. Is that me? Is that like a negative? Is that like a positive stereotype I have? I'm racist in this positive way that the Japanese don't get bald.
If you were to make a stereotype category and you were to say that category is races that get bald, I don't think Japanese makes the top 10.
That's what I'm saying. So why? Like, of all the things they could have cured, like, why?
I think because there's a market for it.
There you go.
Two senses is in America, obviously among men, there's a market for not becoming bald. But then in addition, stem cell treatments are heavily, heavily regulated in America and not so much in Japan. So maybe they're trying to get in on that market since they're allowed to use these stem cell treatments.
So basically the lame Americans. Schlubby, the lame schlubby Americans are already going over to Japan to try and get Japanese women. And they're like, while they're here, we might as well tell them we can cure their baldness and get more money out of them. That's the tactic here.
Right.
Here,
well, now
potato.
They just to be clear though, they don't need their baldness cured in order to be appealing to Japanese women. They just their white skin does that on its own.
Whoa.
That's racism. Just a thing. Like, Asian women just love white dudes. It's they just like think they're just like, "Oh my god, I get to go out with a white man. Like, this is the best. Like, my life is fulfilled."
James is going to sign up for a sex tourism visit to the Philippines next. Like, what the fuck, dude?
You've never heard of this?
I have. I'm just trying to sidestep it because...
You've experienced it.
Justin's dating a Filipino.
Okay, she is very Americanized, and I'm very uncomfortable with where this conversation is right now, and I'm hopeful she's napping and isn't hearing any of this.
It's recorded for later.
God damn it. Anyway... Yes, and Daniel, were you saying that when they show up, when American men are going to show up on the Japanese shores, the Japanese are going to hand them little plastic things that are full of blue and orange liquid and tell them to eat them?
That's right. That's how they're going to cleanse the world of whitey.
French fried Tide Pods.
That's right. In 2016, Justin, to answer your question, the U.S. hair loss treatment manufacturing industry was worth $6 billion.
Wow.
This includes companies that produce restorative hair equipment, such as hair grafts, as well as oral and topical treatments. And who knew? You just had to go down and get the 99-cent Happy Meal over there, and all would be cured. Speaking of being cured, the modeling industry needs to be cured of their gender bias, at least according to, hopefully it's not a new study, I haven't looked. And before you start jumping to conclusions, this article states that the gender pay gap in the modeling industry sees women earning 75% more than men, which to me just reinforces the gender binary, but we'll see what's going on in this article. A new study has shed some light on the situation in modeling, and women come out on top in the modeling industry. Reportedly earning around 75% more than their male counterparts, women make up 9 out of the top 10 highest earning models in British fashion. Kate Moss lost her spot at the top this year to Cara Delevingne. Why do you have me do the news when I can't pronounce anyone's name?
Because it's funny.
Okay. So, Justin, should there be retribution here? Should there be some redistribution of the modeling wealth?
Yeah. I deserve some because no one ever lets short white men model things. So right. I deserve some redistribution of wealth for this.
That's right. No. Not just, I mean, not just, but you hit the nail on the head there, Justin. We're not just talking about pay inequality here. Height inequality must be enormous in the modeling industry.
Literally enormous. Literally.
Thank you.
That's called a yes and. And since we're an Adam Carolla knockoff, I have to do an Adam Carolla thing about this story. This is what I think when I read this story and I see the results and I see that there is this wage gap between the genders and it's, the women make 75% more. This is what I think. I think, shocking.
You also have horrible breath control. You have to take 3 breaths to do that. You should see a doctor about your lung capacity.
Wow. To be fair, I did do Soul Cycle today, which is a little bit of foreshadowing for later.
I see.
Wow.
So this is not shocking at all, right?
It's, no.
As Justin pointed out, this is what you would expect because some industries have more women. Some industries are women dominated. Some industries have more men. Some industries are men dominated.
I would be curious in the nursing industry. Yeah, exactly. It's reality. And I would be curious in the nursing industry. What's the gender gap, wage gap there? I bet you women make more than men in the nursing industry. I bet you Filipino women make more than all of them, James, if we're going to talk about that.
And I bet men make more than women in the roofing industry.
Yeah. And in the roofing industry.
No. Yes, totally. Absolutely.
Yes, and.
Yeah. It goes to this whole notion of every industry must be 50% women, 50% men, equal pay, etc. You should be paid based on the value you bring, no matter what genitalia you have, no matter... anything, just what value do you bring? That's how you should be compensated, period. Why are we talking about if there are 50% men, 50% women? We're going to make different choices. As I've said on the show before, can we acknowledge and be okay with the fact that people are different? Are we okay with that? As a culture, as a society, people are different. They make different choices. They take different paths. They have different lives. And that's okay. And that's
some people choose to eat Tide Pods, Daniel.
That's right. They have a shorter path lifespan than I do, and that's okay.
No, I agree completely. I mean, this is the thing. If anyone, I think we've talked about it before, or we hinted at it, or no, it was at the beginning of the first episode of the season. We talked about the Jordan Peterson interview with that lady in the BBC, and she asked him about the gender gap. And he was just like, there's so many factors you have to control for in order to prove this is real or not, not the least of which is human choice. And that's what we never talk about anymore. It's just, we've slid in the suppressed premise of equality of outcome being equality. It used to be equality of opportunity. Everyone has a right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. It does not say we have a right to life, liberty, and happiness. But now we're sliding that in there. That not only is it happiness, but nobody can be happier than any other person. It's literally, we have the most successful, richest poor in the world, right? The standard of living for the poor in America is better than anywhere else. It's better than the history of the world. The poor people now live better than Egyptian pharaohs lived back in the day. Think about that. Egyptian pharaohs, we used to bury them alive in their fucking tombs with their shit. No, it was their assistants they buried alive. But you get the point, like... Look what we used to do to the people who were the top of the world before. Our poor live better than that. But because there are people who live better than them, that's not good enough. It's mind-blowing to me that you can walk around with a cell phone getting data to it. You can look up. You can just Google and you can go naked women or naked men. And you can Google that no matter where you are. You can be in McDonald's curing your baldness and also be looking at a naked human being of your choice. And it's not good enough because somebody else could pay for a naked human being of their choice to show up and they already have the stem cell treatment for the baldness. But because they can do that, your ability to sit in McDonald's and cure your baldness and look at naked people on your phone isn't good enough. It blows my fucking mind.
Justin's example of wealth is porn access.
No, it's not just porn. It's you can
curing
get the
baldness via French fries.
It's whether you can get the video to your phone or you can get the porn stars to show up at your house. That is the difference between rich and super rich.
Point is well taken, I think. Someone wrote an article a few months ago, maybe a year ago now, called something like, what would John D. Rockefeller pay for an antibiotic? You know, something that even the poorest of the poor can go to like a Minute Clinic and get, you know, let's say on the absolutely wealthiest side, $80. But it's usually way cheaper than that because of subsidies and whatnot. So, but what would a billionaire of old have paid for a shot that wasn't available to them that would have cured like their dying child of a disease, for instance? And it's hard to fathom. It's hard to think, compare those things. But we do live in the wealthiest time in human history, and it's not good enough. It's not good enough. Everything has to be equal. Even so much, Justin, I don't even think our language is so corrupted that we can't even use equality of opportunity anymore, right? I think we have to be really hyper specific about what we mean.
That's true.
Essentially, political equality. That is, you will get treated the same by our political system and our justice system, and that's it. That's the only equality there is.
Right, because that's what they tried to do, because they tried to basically smuggle in the idea that none of us are born equal, therefore nobody has true equality of opportunity. That's what they tried to do, right? Well, it'd be like me going around being like, well, I never had the equal opportunity to play in the NBA. Well, yeah, I didn't, but like fucking half of them or three quarters of them aren't as smart as me. So it's like you win some, you lose some, but that's what it's at now. It's at the point where unless everyone is, I mean, it's Harrison Bergeron, if anyone's read that story. Oh, well, if you think too fast, they put a buzzer in your head so your thoughts are disrupted. If you're too strong, you have to wear weights because other people aren't as strong. That's the point we're at, because they've smuggled in the idea that equality of opportunity means equality of ability, equality of genetics. Isn't that what Hitler was trying to do and everyone got mad at him? Where Hitler was like, I'm going to make everyone a master race. And everyone was like, no. Except now we're doing the opposite. We're trying to make everyone the disaster race.
Oh. Bam. I see what you did there.
You're welcome.
I'm not sure we want to make that an ongoing theme. Your point is well taken. Someone's point was not well taken recently, though, and that is Prime Minister of Canada, Justin Trudeau, who interrupted a woman asking a question when she said the word mankind. He asked her to please use people kind because it's, quote, more inclusive, study says. Yes, thank you. So Justin Trudeau was taking questions at McEwen University in Edmonton. I have no idea how to pronounce names. And a representative from the World Mission Society Church of God described in this article as, quote, a controversial feminist church founded in South Korea. All right. Stood to ask a question about volunteering. Apparently it's difficult to volunteer in Canada for churches. I don't know. I don't know the legal rigmarole of Canada. Point being, she said she was doing good work for mankind. Justin Trudeau said we should use people kind. And everyone applauded, except all of Twitter. Twitter went nuts and basically has been ripping on Justin Trudeau ever since. Ben Shapiro said of Justin Trudeau, he is what happens if the song Imagine took human form and then ate a Tide Pod. Bringing that back. He also said, I would say Trudeau is as dumb as a mop, but at least you can use the mop to clean up messes. Which is also fairly hilarious.
Ben Shapiro has such good tweets.
He is a Jew. Yes, indeed. Good writer. Good pithy writer.
I like this. Girl, Justin Trudeau, people say you've gone mental. Justin interrupts. Not mental, I've gone peopital.
Yes, indeed. So, Justin, should we be more inclusive and instead of using man in any word, use people in all of those words? Because social justice, hashtag?
Not because social justice, hashtag, but because I want to be amused by everyone trying to do it constantly, failing, and then when they're not failing, what it sounds like. I think that would be the funniest thing ever. Like, I picture, in this story, there was a professional wrestler named Mankind, Mick Foley. One of the characters he played was Mankind. Can you imagine if, you know, WWE likes to do sometimes where they scrub their libraries to make it more politically correct. Like Hulk Hogan, if you remember in his sex tape, said something racist, I guess. I don't know. Like I couldn't get through the sex tape. I was just like, this is not anything I want to ever see Hulk Hogan doing. Like, I like Hulk Hogan. He's too old. I don't care. So because of that, they've basically kicked him out of professional wrestling. Like, Hulk Hogan can't work anywhere. They don't show his stuff anymore. And there's been other stuff they've erased from their archives. So I just want it to get to the point that WWE has to go back and erase every reference to Mankind. And, like, on the screen where they put up the graphics, I want them to have to change those all to say people kind and everything. So, like, four-time WWE champion, people kind. Like, that's where I want our society to go, because at least it will amuse me.
Yeah, I like it. What is Trudeau really going after here, James? What is the purpose of this nonsense? He said later it was a joke. It doesn't play as a joke when you watch.
Of course it wasn't a joke.
It comes off as fairly serious.
I mean, I don't know. Trudeau never has occurred to me as, like, someone who really takes this, he is not really an ideologue. He's just really committed to this political correctness stuff just out of following it. Like, you know, he's a very committed leftist. I mean, Trudeau, I mean, I don't know what his motive is. He's just very committed to these ideas, I would say. But I also like statements like this sort of just shows that, like, he doesn't really understand them. But then again, I don't know if anyone who follows these ideas seriously really understands what they're getting at.
Yeah, I think he's just pandering. He's just pandering to his demographic, to his base. That's all it is. I mean, I think the point, James, that you made, that nobody who believes these things nobody who says they believe these things actually understands them. I think that's 100% correct. It's all just emotionalist thinking, and they don't understand what's really going on, and they just become pawns. The funny thing about Justin Trudeau is he's Prime Minister of Canada, and he's just a pawn. I mean, if there's one country this was going to happen to, where the leader of Canada, if he were a teenager, would have eaten Tide Pods, wouldn't it be Justin Trudeau? Wouldn't it be Canada? If there was one country this was going to happen to, wouldn't it be Canada? Because it's like, that's the one where it's not really going to fuck up. It's like, oh, it's just Canada. Whatever.
Yeah, they can always just fall back on the United States. It's fine.
Yeah.
Sorry, Midsider Mark.
There's a lot of Midsiders from Canada, actually.
Oh, yeah?
There's lots of objectivists from Canada. Like, you know, most of the big ones are Canadians.
It's true. Most of the big ones. That's right. Trudeau, this is a thing that was noted recently that doesn't get enough attention, is that in the United States, the left sort of like looks at Trudeau as this Obama-esque figure. And boy, oh boy, wouldn't it be better if we could be ruled by Trudeau. In Canada, from what I've looked at, he's not that popular. He's certainly not even Obama-level popular. He's pretty well disliked throughout most of Canada. So,
what's the cause of his unpopularity? I don't think we should be looking
up to Trudeau for most anything. Unless it's hairstyle. Even then, a little skeptical.
Have you ever seen a side-to-side comparison of Justin Trudeau and Fidel Castro?
He might just be his illegitimate son.
Yeah, he just looks like Fidel Castro with like nicer hair.
It's true.
Like he's just masquerading at. And speaking of that, when Castro died, Trudeau only had nice things to say about Castro.
I remember that.
So did Obama, of course. Which is
it sounds like
evil.
We've unlocked like a mass global conspiracy here. Justin Trudeau is the illegitimate son of Fidel Castro, Jay. I think you just unlocked this.
Illuminati.
Yeah. Could be. His mother was someone who went to Cuba fairly frequently, right? As a promoter of their communist nonsense. I'm not making this up. This has been a thing on the internet that's been going around. It's a little fringy, but at the same time, it's kind of like, kind of look at the pictures. It's at least wildly coincidental.
Wait, his mother did go to Cuba a lot?
There are pictures of his mother and Fidel Castro together.
All right, this is the closest I've ever been to being a conspiracy theorist.
Yeah, I know, right?
I mean, look that shit up. I mean, I don't think it's true, as I don't think any conspiracy theory is true, but it's one that's at least fun to laugh about.
Are you sure that jet fuel can't melt steel beams? Are you sure?
Oh, that one's getting to ridiculous proportions, too. Anyway, let's move on to other insane things.
Oh, definitely. We've got a lot of insane things to talk about, especially in the trailers in The Hopeful Romantic with JML. Put me into syndication, broadcast to a network station of people viewing their favorite episodes. I can't find a new pitch to throw the studio. I need a rerun to better cast the next series of events. In the air timeline lapse, my made-for-TV type was written off. In the last season when I wasn't focused on... Before we get to the trailers... I want to review a musical this week.
What?
There we go. took a second, but I was waiting for that.
What?
Yeah. It's a... Oh, that was good timing on that one. I saw the national tour of the Aladdin musical. It swung through Los Angeles. Have either of you seen it? James, have you gone out to Pantages yet? Or Daniel, did you see it when it was on the East Coast?
No, but that sounds
no.
fun.
No, it is fun. I will say that it is fun. And it is better than if you remember Disney California Adventure used to do the Aladdin show, which was terrible. Like I literally left that offended. I was like, this is like,
as that's the one where Faiza screamed loudly in the theater. Why is Aladdin Asian?
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, Aladdin is not Asian.
Notice that he was Asian.
Well, they had a lot of different, men and women come in and out as Aladdin and Jasmine in Disney California Adventure, because obviously you don't want your whole career to be playing the Hyperion Theater in Disney California Adventure. So it's a little different.
There's also a background character in a wheelchair that threw Fiza as well, just so you know.
Oh yeah, that was there. I remember that. That was hilarious. There was no need for
kidding?
That at all. Yeah, no, that's not a joke. I remember that.
Oh my God. Was it Jafar?
Not historically accurate.
Yeah, so the DCA, yeah, if it was historically accurate, she would have been on a magic carpet.
That was the primary mode of transportation.
Floated around like Yoda.
Anyway, so the musical is not as bad as the Disney California Adventure show. It's actually much, much better, although I don't expect it to be as good as the live-action movie. I expect the live-action movie to be much better. But positive things about it. I mean, it's entertaining. The writing's actually very witty. It's meta. The pop culture references aren't obnoxious. They're worked in a good way. So it retains the main style of the main aesthetic style, the writing style of the original movie. A couple of the set pieces are really good. A Whole New World is tremendous the way they do that. Friend Like Me is tremendous the way they do that. Those two things on their own are worth the price of admission. It's just great seeing those and seeing them happen. I had a couple major problems with the show, though. The first was that the pacing is just very far off. The second act is very short, and it was just like, why didn't you cut that earlier between the two acts? And this is largely a result of the problems they had to face with adapting this. Like, you can't have Jafar turn into a giant snake in a musical. Like, how would you even execute that? So there was a lot they had challenges with. And one of the other challenges created one of the other problems I had. So one of the major things in Aladdin is animals as pets. So you have Jafar and Iago, and you have Jasmine and Raja, her tiger, and then Aladdin and Abu. But they had none of these. And all they did instead was they turned them into people. And what I mean by that was there was literally a guy playing Iago who seemed like he was just trying to impersonate Gilbert Gottfried, which was just insane to me. Because I was like, yeah, exactly. It was like a Hispanic guy, a little short Hispanic guy who, like, even the makeup they did was trying to look like Gilbert Gottfried. And I was like, why not just have Gilbert Gottfried? But I'll get back to the second. And then they made three handmaidens instead of Jasmine's tiger, instead of Raja, and three thieves who were friends with Aladdin instead of Abu. But part of the problem,
freaking weird. Why did it have to be three? And they were Sikhs?
Thieves, not Sikhs.
Oh, I thought you meant the people who, like, wear the head wrap but aren't Muslim.
Well, I mean, that's pretty much everyone in the play has a head wrap but isn't Muslim. But I don't know. They could have been Muslim. There wasn't any religious discussion in the play. But it's whatever.
No one was decapitated for being an infidel.
No one was decapitated. They didn't even do the hand cutting off thing with Jasmine, where she steals the apple. But anyway, I'm getting into nerdiness here, and maybe that's the thing. I want you guys to
like your face.
They cut, that was cut years ago, James. That was cut in the 90s. They changed it. It's where it's flat in the mence and the heat is intense. That's what they say now.
Boy.
Anyway.
Culture.
And you guys can check me on this. And you can tell me if I'm just being like one of these people who's like, I don't like this adaptation. Right? Because that's something we always rail against here. Is there are different adaptations.
An old British woman when you don't like things or...
Yes, exactly. I turned into the woman from the Weakest Link in Britain. You are the weakest link. Goodbye. So something we always rail against is these fanboys who say, I don't like this interpretation of this. So this is what I want to ask you. So in One Jump Ahead, Aladdin always says, you know, you're my only friend, Abu. And then when the genie comes out, he sings a whole song about, you know, you ain't never had a friend like me, which is the point is like Aladdin's never had anyone on his side. He's always felt alone and isolated. That's why he, you know, thinks he's just a street rat. And no one will love him. Same thing with Jasmine. The whole thing is she's locked in the palace and doesn't have any friends except for a tiger. So even though, you know, she's awesome, her dad keeps her locked away and, you know, she's isolated. The genie's isolated by living in a lamp. So we have all this isolation and all these people become friends, and it's where they learn how to be caring and show their true character and their morality. But in the show, instead of the Abu line, because he can't say that, he says, I could use a friend or two. And then he has three friends. I don't understand. And then later the genie comes out and sings this song, Friend Like Me. You ain't never had a friend like me, but he's got three friends who have his back no matter what, to the point that later in the musical, when he gets thrown in prison, they get themselves thrown in prison when they're trying to help him. So,
oh my God.
I just think it really undercuts the theme. And overall, you can't really screw up Aladdin because the major beats of it are so good, right? Like, he meets Jasmine. She loves him anyway. Then he finds the genie. Then he catfishes Jasmine. Then he frees the genie and it shows he's really a good person. Like, you can't screw up those major beats, but I just feel like the theme has been undercut by doing that. Am I crazy? Is that me being like these super nerds?
So here's why it's not the same. Aladdin, Disney's Aladdin is an adaptation of Arabian Nights. So that is their stylization of that story. If you're going to adapt an adaptation, I would think that you just want to be as true to the original as possible because people love that adaptation of that original story. If you're going to be different with it, if you're going to change the themes, just go adapt Arabian Nights.
Okay,
yeah. Fair. It's a derivative Disney's of a derivative. Aladdin.
Yeah.
Right. But then seems again, right, I agree. And I worry about what they're going to do for the live action movie. I hope Abu is in the live action movie. Like, that's my number one thing, how I'm going to judge the quality of the live action movie. If Abu is in it, it's going to be shit because they're going to do all this stuff with adding the three friends and everything. I mean, if he isn't in it, it's going to be shit because they're going to add the three friends. But if they just have Abu, it's going to be fine. So that's going to be what I'm going to be looking for in the pre-production of this. But again, I don't
got to bring Abu back because it's for the kid. Kids love little animals walking around with you. They got to do it for the kids, for the children. That's Justin.
Right. All
yes,
kids
for
are
the 35-year-old children.
Friend.
All kids are allowed to love monkeys except for black children, remember, because when you put monkeys on black children's clothing, it's automatically racist. We learned this earlier.
Yes.
Just bringing that back. Yes. Justin, how do they handle the genie? The genie is such an iconic character. And I thought in the California Adventure thing, they tried to just make him a terrible version of Robin Williams, and it was very disappointing.
So that's the other thing I was going to come back to, and I've already sort of hinted at that when I talked about the Gilbert Gottfried thing. One of the things that really I sort of reflected on while watching this, because it kind of stuck with me, was the way these iconic performers have resonated through time. I mean, that guy was just trying to do a Gilbert Gottfried impersonation. That's literally all he was. And it showed to me how phenomenal the casting of the original, I mean, Disney movies in general were. I mean, it resonates through time that you'll always have this comparison versus movies nowadays where it feels like everything's thrown together. Like, it almost made me wonder about the craftsmanship of casting. Because when you're looking at the genie, one of the things that Robin Williams was almost ahead of his time with the comedy he did in Aladdin, like his comedy in Aladdin was almost internet comedy where it's very meta and very pop culture based. And it's just making fun of everything. And as James said, it was very sarcastic and not taking anything seriously. So they translated that into the only culture they knew how to. They made him a gay black man.
Really?
Yeah. So he has all this attitude where it's like, you know, he's very like combative with Aladdin in a very, you know, not serious way. And that's also why he can get away with making all the pop culture references and stuff, because that's what we consider that to be nowadays. That's how Robin Williams' comedy has translated through time. Just like Gilbert Gottfried's comedy has translated through time, as Jafar's assistant was just annoying with a grating voice.
God.
Was it played by the guy who was in Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt?
No, but I mean, it's the same. He could have. It's the same type of actor.
Oh, that it could be that. I mean, again, we're totally undercutting the entire, well, not the entire premise, but just a major premise of the whole damn story, which is the genie is incredibly, if I'm remembering correctly, is incredibly grateful to Aladdin. And so he gives him these three wishes out of sheer gratitude, right? Because he's usually you don't get wishes from a genie, right? But he did because he did the genie some sort of favor?
No.
Okay, never mind.
That's just not what happens. It's in the Aladdin mythos, if you rub the lamp, you get three wishes. That's why when Jafar rubs the lamp, he gets three wishes. But the genie is friends with Aladdin because Aladdin promises to free him. So that's still present in there. That theme, that's what I mean, where you can't fuck up the beats of the story. It's
still effing up the story.
Right. It's not that far different. It's just interesting that that's how they translated it in their brain. The genie is entertaining and he's very funny. Like I said, the Friend Like Me number is tremendously done. They do actual magic in it and everything. Like, it's great. Like, it's tremendous. And the genie is very entertaining and he's the framing device for the whole thing. It's just that it's just interesting that that's how that was translated through time.
When did the original Aladdin come out, Justin?
I want to say, and check me on this, 95?
It was in the 90s, though, right?
Yeah, it was in the 90s. I want to say 95. Somebody Google that for me and tell me if I was right. Okay, we can all guess, or we could just Google it in the year 2018.
I can't Google it because when I type it in my computer, people get mad at me. So.
Oh my God, I will Google it. Somebody else talk about something with
I'm
Aladdin.
Looking at it right now.
Oh, I was just going to say that...
92, okay, so I was up by 3 years. Yeah.
Wow.
So I was 9 when it came out.
Crazy. So I was just going to say that the reason they can't hire Gilbert Godfrey to do these kind of things anymore is after 9/11, you can't hire Gilbert Godfrey to do anything. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wait, why?
Because it was like...
No, it was the Japanese tsunami was what it was.
Well, even after, I mean, it was the weekend after 9/11, he was in New York for the roast of Hugh Hefner, and I think he made the joke on stage like, I was trying to get back to L.A., but the only flights I could find had a layover in the Empire State Building.
Which is funny, that's funny.
It's a funny joke, but yeah. The weekend after 9/11, rubble still smoldering. And he's making 9/11 jokes on stage. And then he did the tsunami jokes, too.
Right, and the tsunami joke lost him the Affleck job.
Yeah. So you can't really hire Gilbert Gottfried to do these kind of things. But
so you should see the Aladdin musical so you learn more about Gilbert Gottfried's history and life. That's what we're taking away from here, right?
That's really the most important point, yes.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's entertaining, and like I said, you can't screw up the basic story of Aladdin. I mean, you can't screw up the basic themes. It's all in there, his isolation and his believing he's a street rat and, you know, what he comes out ahead because he learns to be honest and be himself and believe in himself. Like, that's all there. And the stuff about Jasmine, you know, wanting to be an equal, that's in there and everything. So you can't screw that stuff up, and the production value is great. So it's worth seeing for all those things, but... If you're a purist and you're going to get upset about it, don't see it because you're just going to get angry. But I mean, if I'm not going to get angry about it and I'm going to enjoy it, shut the fuck up and just enjoy the play. All right. It's worthwhile.
If you're a purist, just read Arabian Nights in the original Arabic.
Yes. If you're that much of a purist, but you're not going to like
funny
that either.
How you can be purist about a derivative product.
It's funny. I do like how,
well, that's all of Disney.
It is. The other thing Fiza leaned over to me and said was, why do they keep calling him Aladdin? I said, yeah. What? Like, why do they keep calling him Aladdin? That's his name. It's like, that's not his fucking name. His name's Aladdin.
Yeah.
Get it right.
Oh, well, then yeah, it would be really weird because Genie calls him Al instead of Aladdin. Can you imagine if he calls him Allah instead of Aladdin the whole movie? Like, how that would have played?
Fucking awesome.
Or just Dean.
All right, let's talk about some other things that aren't that awesome.
Trailer takedown. First trailer.
Venom is a Sony spinoff of the Marvel Comics universe as they're still trying to create their Spider-Man universe without Spider-Man. It stars Tom Hardy as Eddie Brock, aka Venom, and Michelle Williams as someone. She's just in one random shot in the trailer. I have to say what I have to say, and then you guys can say whatever the fuck you want, but there was one thing that really bothered me about this trailer. And if you're going to go for it, go for it. And what I mean is, they were doing a thematic integration thing where Venom not only meant him literally as a character, but, you know, because the symbiote takes him over and it's like a Venom on him and it makes him evil, but they were also referring to what is psychological Venom. And they had a whole speech about trauma and everything and how everyone has it. And then at the end it goes, and everyone has their demons. And I went, fuck you. I'm out. If you're good, just say Venom. Everyone has their Venom. It's fine. Like, it's this idea that saying that would have been hacky or cliched or poor writing or something. No, it's poor writing to not lean into that. You did it in a way that you could have executed it well. And instead you just made it sound stupid, like you were trying to avoid it. And that, it almost offends me as a writer, where I'm just like, this is stupid. It made me not want to see this. As good of an actor as Tom Hardy is, as good of an actress as Michelle Williams is, I'm just, because of that one thing, just say Venom. Tackle. Daniel?
Looks better than Spider-Man.
Tackle.
James,
this is made by Sony. It looks like it reminds me of the Deadpool movies. like in its execution. So maybe, I don't know. I'm not hugging it super hard, but like, I'm not going to tackle it.
We'll make a choice. Like, it's a either or.
Okay, I'm hugging. I'll watch this.
Hug?
Deadpool was good. This looks like it maybe is just kind of a more serious version. Like, this is the Sony side of Marvel, right? That we're looking at.
Well,
here.
I mean, no. It's sort of like how before Disney bought Fox, Fox had rights to the X-Men universe. Well, before Disney made the deal to have Spider-Man in the MCU, Sony had the rights to the Spider-Man universe, and they still have the rights. So it's similar to Deadpool in that sense, but they're not working with Marvel on this.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, is that like the people who do the usual Marvel movies are not involved in this.
Correct. Correct. As anything more than a consultant,
that's why
maybe.
I'm open to it. And so this is Tom Hardy is Spider-Man?
No, Tom Hardy is Eddie Brock, Venom. You know the black version of Spider-Man, and I don't mean Miles Morales, the Hispanic version.
I thought Venom was like the split personality of Spider-Man himself. Venom's just a whole different guy.
Venom is a symbiote that this is fucking nerdy as fuck, but Venom is a symbiote that comes from space. Venom is a symbiote that comes from space, and different people can wear the Venom suit, the symbiote, and when they wear it, they become evil. So Eddie Brock wears it, and he becomes Spider-Man's nemesis. Just like Carnage is the red version, he's a symbiote that comes from space as well, and I don't know who wears it, but other people wear. But yes, at a certain point, Spider-Man does wear the Venom symbiote as well, and he has his alter ego. We saw this in Sam Raimi's Spider-Man 3. They tried to execute that as well. They just made him emo or goth when he was wearing the symbiote.
Right.
That's more than anyone ever wanted to know about Venom.
See, when they said the word demon, the way they said it made me think like, oh, maybe this thing is a demon. I thought they were like making a reference to that. Like, I thought when they said the word demon, they were referencing something kind of like that was in the story and will be revealed later. Like, oh, we find out that this thing is actually, you know, a demon from hell or something. And
that's the point. But that's what I'm saying. That's why the writing's
so
bad. I mean,
that's your problem. Yeah.
Well, right. I mean, you've unpacked another level of it. It's sort of the symbiote possesses you like a demon possesses you, right? The idea that, oh, you're suddenly evil when you're wearing it. But if you're going to have this whole speech about, well, he's already evil as it is, and it's because of psychological trauma and so on and so forth, just commit to the idea that the venom of the symbiote runs through your veins and makes you evil just like trauma does. Now you're confusing it, and it's a mixed metaphor because you want to have this demon thing. Like, what is it? Is it about psychological trauma, or is it about just evil taking over and possessing a body? What's the movie about? So you've made me hate it even more, so I'm definitely never seeing this unless it's tremendous, but I doubt it will be. What you're also talking about, James, is this is probably going to be rated R, just like Logan and Deadpool are. So now we're starting to see the era of the rated R superhero movies.
I'm fine with that.
All right, let's move on.
I'm fine with that part. I mean, it's everything else that,
I miss the era of well-written superhero movies.
It was Christopher Nolan, Batman 1-3.
Yeah, Christopher Nolan and Zack Snyder. Yeah, and Iron Man and then Zack Snyder, and now they just shit all over all of them. Agreed. I agree with all of those.
You guys like the Iron Man movies?
The first one. Yeah, the first one's good.
I feel like the first one is right there along with all the other Marvel movies in its crappiness.
Nah, gotta rewatch it.
That'll have to be a whole conversation.
Yeah,
I just rewatched it and fell in love with it again.
No, the first one's good. The second one's very underrated. I mean, he advocates for privatizing national defense, and then the third one is good too because it undoes all of the self-sacrifice that Whedon made Iron Man do in the Avengers. It treats that as like a PTSD he has to go through everything.
I'm less in love with that one, but
it's the least good of the three. But anyway, this is let's move on.
Let's go on to another horrible hero.
Second trailer.
I Feel Pretty is the latest Amy Schumer movie. In it, she has an accident, hits her head, wakes up and sees herself, and decides that she doesn't decide, just believes that she is a 10, basically. She believes that she is undeniably attractive, and she starts acting like that. And that's the premise of the movie. Now, there are a few things I want to talk about with this trailer. The first thing is, did you guys see the accident and how she hurts herself?
She's on an elliptical.
I probably did, but I've already seen my therapist to forget this horrible trailer.
Okay, so she was at SoulCycle. SoulCycle, for everyone out there, is a fitness group, a fitness company, where everyone goes and they do spin class. Spin class is where you ride the bike. Now, SoulCycle is this special breed, and I'm not going to lie. I do it once a week. My girlfriend does it, and it's a good workout because you're doing cardio for like 45 minutes to an hour, and they're running you through the endurance and everything. But the thing that's weird about it is everyone goes in this room together, and they turn the lights off, and they play really loud music, and then they yell affirmations at you as they're telling you what to do. You could be a good person. All it takes is effort. You are better than 99% of people by doing this. Now, here's the thing I'm pretty sure about. Turning off the lights, playing loud American pop music, and yelling affirmations at people, wasn't that considered torture when that happened in Guantanamo Bay?
Didn't know where you were going with that. But yes, you're totally right.
Yeah. Yeah, so, but if you're someone who, you know, loves life and wants to get ahead, then, you know, you're excited by activity, not tortured by it.
Right. I mean, obviously, that's why I'm saying, like, you know, I could do without the, you know, being yelled at to tell that I could be a better person, but it is a good workout. And now when we're talking about this trailer, the ridiculous thing about this trailer is, so she falls off the bike while it's a stationary bike and she falls off of it and she somehow gets her hair caught in it and then hits her head. But here's the thing. It is nearly impossible to fall off the bike. Like, I think the 154 people who eat Tide Pods would not be capable of falling off of the bike because your shoes, it takes special shoes and you actually literally lock into the bike. Like you click into the bike. So you're
terrifying.
That's what I told you. This is like torture. Like in Guantanamo Bay, this was considered torture. But no, you lock in. So the fact that she somehow manages to fall off the bike is like, it's just, she somehow continues to do stupid things. I don't understand. So then
Justin, somehow this feels like it's not the most wrong thing this movie has done.
I am going to continue to go forward. I'm just saying that really, really bothers me. The fact that she hasn't, that she's far. Right. Also.
Meanwhile, somewhere in a bunker, Dick Cheney is writing furiously. Just so you know.
Mm-hmm. So, okay. Other things that are wrong with this movie in general.
Amy Schumer, the plot, the title, the actors.
Yes, but you know this is one of my favorite subjects, okay? You know this is one of my favorite subjects. And everything about this is what I hate about the body positivity movement and the fat acceptance movement, okay? The first thing is, what if you could change everything without changing anything? Well, then it wouldn't be real! You're saying, what if A isn't A? What if a thing isn't itself? If you want to change things, you have to put through effort and change. It's especially, actually, the more I think about it, it's offensive to the people that go to SoulCycle. So all these people go to get in shape, and she goes, and rather than get in shape, she falls and hits her head. So she hurts herself, and she becomes happy, and she, can believe she's attractive, even though these people are going there and working hard to be attractive. I didn't even realize it was offensive on that level. But what do they care? SoulCycle is going to get so much marketing out of this. It's ridiculous. So there's the first thing, like, change without changing. Fuck you. That's not possible. Stop trying to feed this to people to make them feel better about their emotionalism. And the final thing is the fat acceptance thing. Amy Schumer has gone out of her way to make herself fatter and less attractive because that's what's marketable. And she's leaning into this social justice nonsense. If you Google her and go to Google image search, there's a picture of her as a skinny, pretty blonde. That's not particularly my type, but if you compare her in this trailer and the way she looks and like the things she's wearing, that she looks, get mad at me, tweet at me, bro. She looks disgusting in this trailer. And it's supposed to be like, oh, what if you believe you were attractive? This would not help her be
Jesus
more attractive.
Christ.
It's
literally the opposite of Christian Bale.
It's
the
Yeah, I'm looking at before and after pictures. God, she fucked herself up. Like,
right, she was kind of no cute reason. Before,
look
right?
At, look at before and after. There's no reason for this.
I will put. Christ, I'm going to make this so easier gross. For you now that. Now that James is having this reaction, I will put in the episode on themidside.com/podcast or themidside.com in the episode post, I will put the before and after pictures because now James's reaction in it. So it's now an integral yeah. part. I like to make the listeners do work themselves, but now I got to make it easy for them. So yeah, she was like, look, as again, I'm not particularly into that. Daniel, you're not into blondes either. But James, looking at the pictures, she was cute, right? You could understand why someone
yeah,
would be
fine.
Into her.
Like, yeah, she's taking care of herself in this picture. Like, and then,
right.
And the thing is if, you know, she, you could argue in the first picture, she's a little too skinny, like, cause you know, there's some legitimate, you know, talk about like, you know, what's considered normal is probably skinnier than what's healthy. But like, she just turns into a, you know, a fucking whale. Like, and yeah, it's clearly on purpose. Like it's just, it's, I don't know. I mean, it's on purpose. It's just, you can tell by the type of transformation that it's nihilism. It's just nihilism embodied basically. Like if she
literally,
if she
embodied,
went out and
yeah.
said like, yeah, right. Like if she said like, oh, I used to be too, in this picture, she's wearing like a blue thing and she's very skinny. And she said, you know what? That I didn't feel good when I was that skinny. I was, you know, I was tired all the time, blah, blah, blah. And then she, you know, gained some weight from there. Like, fine. Okay. But that's not clearly not what she's advocating for. She's advocating for the idea that your appearance and your health does not matter. It's all subjective. It's just society's opinion. Yeah. It's
right.
Gross.
I mean, and literally the trailer starts with her doing what people who are trying to better themselves do, right? She knows yeah. she's unattractive. So she's going to get in shape and she's participating in this fitness community, but really she's doing what a lot of fucking people do on, you know, on Instagram and shit. There, she's just jumping on a trend. She's only doing SoulCycle at the beginning of the movie as a character because it's trendy and that's what attractive people do, right? She's not doing it because she's actually building the lifestyle. And then the fantasy continues by she hits her head and suddenly can just believe she's attractive. Like, I mean, doesn't she have CTE? Is it, if she hits her head and believes she's attractive, that's CTE. Is she not a danger to herself and other people?
But I did hear that Belichick just signed her, so.
As a linebacker.
Yeah, I was going to say, she might be a pretty good offensive lineman. I mean,
oh,
she'll
God,
just start talking.
I can barely keep that joke in.
Somebody, she'd just start talking and everyone would avoid her. She'd be the best protection for Tom Brady anyway. Anyway. I'm obviously tackling this.
Tackle.
Daniel, go ahead.
I would tackle this film, but I don't even want to metaphorically touch
it. Tackle.
Nice. Tackle with the same addendum.
Tackle.
All right, let's move forward.
Final trailer.
Solo is the Star Wars standalone. That is a fucking tongue twister. That's a lot of S's in there. Jesus. For Han Solo, it takes place before the original trilogy, when he's pretty young, I believe. Daniel, you're going to have to talk about all that stuff. And in this trailer, people told him he couldn't be a pilot. He decides he's going to be a pilot. Woody Harrelson hires him to be a pilot. And Emilia Clarke talks to him. And then he flies through like a giant space gator or something. And Chewbacca does this Chewbacca thing, which I'm not going to even try and do because I'll somehow sound like a British woman, probably. Yeah, there you go. Yeah. When I say that, I just go, you are the weakest link. Goodbye. So here's my thing about this trailer. And Daniel, you can lean into me and you can hate me for all you want. But the three things stand out to me about this trailer. And the first I will recognize is maybe because they feel like they don't have to market this. There is nothing interesting about this trailer. It looks generic. There's nothing story-wise that goes on. I just think, generously, maybe they think they don't have to market this. The second thing is, Woody Harrelson and Emilia Clarke do not seem like they're acting in this movie. It's just like, it literally looks like Woody Harrelson shows up to give Han Solo a job. That's what it looks like to me. And then Emilia Clarke shows up to give him a pep talk. They don't seem like they have characters. They're just there. I mean, Forrest Whitaker, say what you want about Rogue One, he was playing a character. He wasn't Forrest Whitaker. They seem like they're themselves. And then finally, the guy who plays Han Solo just seems like he's doing an impersonation of Carl Urban as McCoy, as Dr. McCoy in the Star Trek reboot. That's all I was thinking the whole time. It's like he's acting exactly the same way and looks very similar. So it's just, for me, because of all these things, it's a tackle. Although I will say this, I will see it to review it for the Midsiders. That's what you've done to me, Midsiders. So, Daniel, go ahead and call me an idiot.
You're 100% right about everything.
Wow. All right. Thanks.
This movie, I suspect, will be complete and utter shite. Alden Ehrenreich is turning out to be a horrible choice for Han Solo and has been a disaster, and they've had to do... By last report, they've already had to reshoot half the movie because he's so terrible at being
really?
An actor. Yes.
Wow.
It's in huge trouble. They're not sure they're gonna make the premiere date, although they're trying their best.
Holy
crap.
They might
get pushed back.
So we're going to have another Superman CGI mustache problem here where they try to rush things and it looks like shit?
I think we may, yes. This movie, to me, looks like Wes Anderson's Star Wars. Who the fuck cast these people? Sorry, it's four. Trying not to do that.
What's your counter overall? Is that four for the season? Three for the season?
That's six total.
Wow.
Yeah. So, the casting for this was a disaster from the beginning. They were trying to do stunt casting with, Donald Glover as Lando Calrissian, and Alden Ehrenreich, who I think has been in a couple Wes Anderson movies. I'm not sure.
Yeah, by the way, Donald Glover in this looks like a 70s porn star. He looks like a 70s porn star version of a Lando Calrissian impersonation. That's what he looks like.
Yes, because we don't know if we were setting a movie like 20, 25 years in the past from the last time we saw these characters, they'd be wearing the exact same outfits.
Yeah.
So dumb. You're right. They're not trying to market this movie because they don't
my
think
God.
They have to.
That's so
James
true.
James just realized.
The same fucking thing. Oh.
Yeah. That's right. In the future, we never change clothes, even as we age.
Yeah. That reminds me of in Star Trek Nemesis, how they make the young Jean-Luc Picard bald, because, like, otherwise we wouldn't know it was him.
Oh, you mean the clone of Picard that looks nothing
the
like
clone
Picard?
Also, yeah. It's like if they made a little clone of Abraham Lincoln who had to fight Abraham, like a young Abraham Lincoln, and he's still wearing a top hat and has a beard, like as a 20-year-old man.
Right, if it was like a short, chubby guy and you just put him in a hat and you were like, yeah, they're clones. Yeah, that's what it was like
in
Nemesis.
Yeah, I mean, he's got the hat and everything. Of course he's Abraham Lincoln.
I will see this movie only because it's Star Wars on screen, and I'm obsessed, but it is the most reluctant
movie I've ever
seen. James?
I'm with Daniel on this one, only I'll add that the premise interests me. The idea that this is how Han Solo got his start, and, you know, he wanted to be a pilot and he had a mind of his own, that hints at something that appeals to me immediately. It appeals to my sense of life immediately. Like, I wanted to do something, but like when I sort of entered the institutions to become a pilot, like they didn't approve of my way of doing things, and so I have to go out on my own and do it myself. Like that appealed to me, but I'm sure they'll fuck that up. So I like the idea of this movie, and so I will see it, and I will, I guess that means I'm hugging it. But yeah, all of the details, I like the platonic form of this movie, of this preview.
I will also say I did like that one line. That one line was good.
Yeah, I mean, and also something I'll note is, yeah, it doesn't surprise me that this guy's a terrible actor, because think about the part where, oh, by the way, they're flying through a beast or something. Guys, you don't need to literally copy our childhoods. You don't need to show another shot of the Millennium Falcon flying around in a space monster. Like, you don't need to, we don't need another literal Death Star. We don't need like homages that are just copies of what happened in an earlier movie. Like,
it
just,
wasn't a Death
fine.
Star, James. It was a Star Killer.
Yeah. Now, here's the other thing. he says we're fine here. He says like something like, we're fine, everything is fine. It was just, and it wasn't Han Solo at all. It was some geeky guy. It came off as just some geeky guy. And I could tell, were they trying to, like, copy that line that Harrison Ford ad-libbed where he says, we're all fine here now. We're fine. How are you? You know, like, when that whole line, were they trying to do that?
I got the failing completely? So, yeah.
What's that?
Justin. Yes, I think they were. I got that impression as well. Justin, can you believe this guy, Aaron Reich, got the part over Dave Franco?
Do you mean James Franco? What do you call it? No, yeah, you fucked me up by calling him Dick Franco. Why would you call Dave Franco Dick Franco?
Dick Franco?
I didn't. I said Dave.
No, you said Dave. I heard Franco. Dick Franco.
Dave Franco would be great.
Sorry, I was
heard that. I 100% said Dave.
Oh yeah, I heard Dick Franco, and I was like, "You mean James Franco? He's the dick." No, Dave Franco is perfect for this role. Are you kidding me? His sense of humor and the way he carries himself. Look at any role. Oh my God, why did you do this to me? I'm sorry, Midsiders, I can't see this movie now. I have to conscientiously object. Dave Franco would have been the perfect young Han Solo. Fuck you, Hollywood. Why did you do this to me, Daniel? Because you wanted to hear me rant, right? You set me off on purpose.
They picked instead they picked the gay cowboy character from a Coen Brothers film.
So. Oh my God, they could have had Dave Franco. Oh my God, now, we just need to move on. We just need to move on. We have to move on. Moveon.org. It's time for...
We're fine here now.
How are you?
Everything is fine. How are you?
Well, that was good. That was very good timing, James. All right. Take a deep breath, Justin. Take a deep breath. Call Dave Franco. Tell him you love him. It's okay. It's time for Reddit on Reddit.
These things are all on Reddit. Mostly pics of felines, comma, whoring felines. These things are all on Reddit. No, we didn't post it, but we will repost it.
First Reddit. What's the TLDR of your life? TLDR, of course, means too long, didn't read. It's for people on the internet who don't want to read things, so you just give a sentence summary of what you said before. Usually it's pretty, like, a pretty shallow, simplistic summary. So for me, my TLDR is I say I'm from Boston. I'm not from Boston. I'm from Worcester, which is 45 minutes from Boston. But rather than explain that to people and explain that there are other places in Massachusetts and New England that aren't Boston, I just say I'm from Boston because it gets people to leave me alone easier. Do you guys have similar things?
I have the thing I put on a lot of my social media accounts. Does that count? It's like, digital strategist, rhetorician, all-around swell guy.
Yeah, that's a TLDR.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you guys are more describing yourselves. I had a different interpretation of this. It was just your life in total.
But that's why I do that, because I say I'm from Boston, everyone is like, oh, okay, we get why you're the way you are. Well, it's like, no, I could explain to you complexly where I'm from and why that shaped who I am and the decisions I've made, but I'll just tell you I'm from Boston because you'll leave me alone.
Right. I don't know if mine's very descriptive, but the sentence I would say is, I did it my way.
So you quote an Usher song?
I quoted an Usher song. Justin, you uncultured fuck.
Can we not call anything Usher has done a song?
It's the
Prince Sinatra music. Yeah.
Daphne, it's not time for you to sing. My dog is barking. Get her out of here.
That's all right. We have the pod cats. We need to think of what could we say for a dog? A pod dog? It doesn't work as well. Pod dog isn't bad.
I did it dog way.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway,
she's right here now. Very good.
Next Reddit. What's something you hear about a lot on the internet, but have never experienced in real life? And you
Tide
can't
pods.
Say
I call Tide Pods.
Damn it! I was gonna say you can't say eating Tide Pods.
Thank you.
I mean, my real question is, what haven't you heard about? What haven't you heard about on the internet that is real in real life? Everything I hear about, I never see in real life. Like these examples of like racism and sexism, I don't see anywhere.
Yeah, something I heard about on the internet but haven't experienced in real life: Hillary Clinton winning the presidency.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
How about Donald Trump being a racist?
Yeah, or I'm a racist, or everyone's a racist, or everyone's a sexist, all that crap.
69ing and being really into it.
That went in a personal direction.
I mean, you see it on the internet all the time, and I've...
We're talking about porn now? Like porn? That's what we're saying?
Yeah, that's on the internet. That's the majority of the internet. And all I'm saying is it's overrated.
Do you want to tell us other things in porn you've never experienced, James?
And the final Reddit is... Final Reddit has to do with money.
That's also something I've heard about on the internet but never seen is money.
Uh-huh.
Did you have something else to say, Daniel? I thought you were... I interrupted you.
No, I was trying to move us along as quickly as possible.
Okay, let's do that then. I just thought you didn't want to hear about James's sex life. Final Reddit... You're offered $10 million for eating only a single food of your choice for the next 5 years. What do you do? I don't understand how this is a difficult question. Like, if I only had to eat one food for the next 5 years and I would get $10 million, like, do I have to pay for the food or is it already given to me? I'm assuming it's already given to me, right? So then, like, just give me prime rib for 5 years and I get $10 million to eat the best food ever? Like... This does not seem like a difficult question to me.
You wouldn't get monotonously tired of the single choice for every single meal? Like, do you want prime rib at, like, 6 in the morning?
I eat the same thing for lunch every day. I cook 4 chicken thighs on my Foreman and reheat them for lunch. That's it. That's what I eat for lunch every day. You think I'm going to get bored?
No. Seems like you.
I mean, so Justin, you're telling me you're already doing this to yourself, not for $10 million, but for, you know, like a few bucks.
Well, it's mainly savings. So I can be in shape and have sex. So, I mean.
So you can be really into 69ing?
Yes, exactly.
That's
and fair. That's all the time we have for this week's episode. Join us next week when we talk about 70ing.
So you're telling me if you had to eat the best food ever for 5 years and get $10 million, you would get bored?
Well, certainly I would get bored. Doesn't mean I wouldn't do it, but I would get bored. Yes.
I think I would choose something like prime rib.
Do you have to take into consideration like the health effects on yourself? Like eating prime rib for every meal, every day?
I don't know. That would be actually like prime rib, some rice and vegetables. Like you'd probably be... I'd probably lose weight. Fuck.
It's not a single food.
Just one food?
He did get you on a technicality.
Like literally
only
just
a
one
single food.
Okay, yes. If you're doing this realistically, you'd have to figure out the food that had the best nutritional value. So yeah, it would probably get shitty because you wouldn't want to die after 5 years. So you'd have to find something that, like some sort of omelet or something that had a good mix, right?
I mean, Mark Watney survived on potatoes, but that wasn't for 5 years.
Who's Mark Watney?
Please.
So he did like an impoverished Irishman diet?
Are you
kidding me? He's the Martian!
That's what I was going to say.
Oh,
I was going to make that joke.
Oh, okay, yeah. He was eating his own shit potatoes.
That's right.
So a fictional character did it, so yeah. All right,
humor.
This is run its course. This is
get
run its
with
course.
The game.
This episode has run its course. I need to go on a SoulCycle bicycle and fall off so I can feel good about myself. That's what I need to go do. So we need to end this episode so I can go hit my head on the floor and SoulCycle. That's what's going to happen here. So why don't we tell us what we learned this episode? Daniel?
I learned that millennials are trolling us with their Tide Pod deliciousness, and I'm sick of it. Eat it. Or shut up about it.
James?
I learned that I learned nothing, Justin. I learned nothing. The world is exactly the same to me now as it was before this show. That's what I learned.
That's riveting. Sad. Justin?
That's sad. I feel bad. My heart just broke a little bit. No, I learned that
I'm just
going
to continue my trend of rejecting every, like, just in, I'm the no and guy. So I'm just going to continue being that guy.
Take an improv class.
Adam Carolla show ripoff. Justin, what have you learned?
I learned that all the effort I put into getting in shape and staying in shape are useless. If I just like have Jalen Ramsey from the Jaguars just hit me really hard and get a concussion, I'll just believe I'm attractive. So all this effort I've been putting in is useless. I just need to get hit really hard by Jalen Ramsey. Don't make that a gay thing.
Get that drop. If you learned something this week, tell us on social medias. This is going to be the shortest plug ever because I have the worst headache I've had in a very long time, and I'm trying to get off this podcast. Website, social medias, patreon.com/themidside, money, iTunes, 5 stars, Google Play, 5 stars, liberty.me, you're awesome. Tell a friend. Until next time, we love you.
This concludes your journey into the midside. I'm Justin Evelzeski reminding you that if things get tough, take a step back and witness the farce. Fucking ridiculous. They could have had Dave Franco.